Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio and Joe DiBiase. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Joe, I was so jacked up for the NHL playoffs and to talk to you about it, I totally forgot that it's Friday and we normally play our anthem, and I instructed Josh Schmidt to play this instead.
I like this.
I like it, too. But, you know, it's Friday.
Fire it up.
And, Baby, we're ready to go. Like, that's normally what we do on a Friday. But that's okay. We are ready to go. Do you know why I'm playing this? Because, Joe, even though it is NFL draft season, we are 1 week away, less than that, from the NFL draft. Mm-hmm. It is also Survivor season. That's right. We have a tournament happening. So now we have to play NHL Survivor. Let's do it. Let's start off right away. The Extra Point Show, the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on WGR Sports Radio 550 with NHL Playoff Survivor. Mm-hmm. All right, we have 16 teams, right, in the NHL playoffs, right? 16 teams in the NHL playoffs. We are going to eliminate them one by one, going around the horn here to get to a consensus who we are rooting for to try and win the Stanley Cup. You ready for this?
All right, let's go. I'm ready.
Okay. How about you go first? Who are you eliminating? Who is off your board that you are not going to root for the NHL Stanley Cup?
Root for, right? Not like who we think is going to win, right?
Correct. You do not want to see this team win.
All right. My first pick is going to be the Boston Bruins because nobody likes Boston. Yes. That city doesn't need another championship. They're annoying. I'm sick of them being good. Boston's my top pick.
Yeah, I totally get that. I like it. You know, normally, typically, I'd say I'd go to Vegas here because it's Jack Eichel, but they won it already, and that kind of has been worn off. Now, we'll probably get to them in due time, but I have to jump them now and say, of course, I do not want the Toronto Maple Leafs to win the Stanley Cup from just up the road. I mean, come on now. How not fun would that be from Leafs fans not far away, and how fun would it be to... I know the Sabres are not good. They are not the Leafs. I get it. You can tell me that all day long, Leafs fans, but still, for the Leafs to continue this... and to always have the question about the Leafs and what's happening, that's worth it for me. I'm going Toronto Maple Leafs. Go ahead, Josh.
I'm going to go with the Tampa Bay Lightning, mainly because I thought they were going to fall off this year, and they kind of, you know, took that last one of the last wild card spots away from the Sabres by still being good for some reason. And, I mean, they've had a lot of success over the last few years. Why do they still need to be in it? Just go away.
I like it. Three Eastern Conference teams so far. Joe, you're up next.
Can I just say real quick, I don't think I would have gotten to Toronto for a while. Is anyone else just, like, sick of making fun of the Leafs for the playoff stuff? I don't want to say sick of it. So, it's just that I'm not, like, you know what I mean? I'm not craving, like, oh, just let them lose in the first round again. Maybe it's because they're playing Boston. That could be it.
Yeah.
That could just be
what's
going
on. I would tell you this, Joe. I am not sick of making fun of them.
Yeah.
But I don't, like, kind of despise them as much as I thought I would when doing this exercise, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that does. All right, I'm going to select the New York Islanders because if I've got to watch them for 2 months go on a deep playoff run and hear about how they've done it in blueprints and Matt Martin and grit and I can't do it. The Islanders are such a tough watch, and I just don't want anyone to think that is a good way to build your team. So I don't think they're the biggest underdog, I think, in the first round. So I'm not worried about them going deep. I don't want it. I don't want to see it happen. Islanders are the worst watch in the sport. I don't want them to make it.
The Islanders, they actually kick off the NHL playoffs tomorrow night, evening, I should say.
5 o'clock
against the Carolina Hurricanes. You have two games tomorrow, Islanders at Hurricanes and Maple Leafs at Bruins. That one is at 8 o'clock, so tomorrow is when the NHL playoffs begin. All right, I will now go to the West, and I will get to Vegas. It wasn't first on my list, but it's right up there because it's still Jack Eichel, and it's still Vegas, and they're circumventing salary caps again, and I'm just, I don't need to see Vegas win another cup, so I'm going to say, Vegas, get out of here.
I'm going to stick out west with you, and I'm going to take away the LA Kings. They just, I was looking at their stats, and they're just kind of a boring team. Like,
yes.
Their highest scoring player is Adrian Kempe with 75 points.
Yeah.
like, why are you a playoff team?
There's an Islanders vibe a little bit to it.
Yeah, they're like Islanders West almost.
Feels like a waste of time.
Yeah.
I'm going to pick Carolina.
Yeah.
Never forget 06. But also, listen, I know they play the Islanders, and I already got the Islanders, but the quicker the Hurricanes get eliminated, the quicker we can talk about whether Brendan Moore's realistic or not, or get some type of information on that. If they go on a deep run, we probably never have the Brendan Moore talk. Sal, if they get eliminated in the next 10 days, like, I don't think they'll lose in 5 or 6, but they could. And if they do, then what? Now it's, okay, we didn't think he'd be available this quickly. Now let's see what they do contract-wise. Like, it would just accelerate the timeline on whether or not that's a real option for the Sabres head coach. I'll go Hurricanes for the combo of Brendan Moore and also, of course, never forget 06.
I love that reasoning. That's a great reasoning. Mate, you get him out, and now we're way more juicy here talking about the Sabres head coach and the guy that I know I want for sure, and that is Rod Brindamore as well. All right, so you went with Carolina. I'm going to go with Dallas, another team that the Sabres have a history with and losing, obviously, in a big spot in the Stanley Cup playoffs, 1999. I mean, this is a really good team this year. They were the number two team. They won the Western Conference as far as points are concerned. Number two to only the Rangers this year to the President's Trophy. They have a lot of talent, but they're the Dallas Stars. Why would I want Dallas to win anything at this point, especially the Dallas Stars? I mean, Lindy hasn't been there for a few years. There's nobody on the roster. I'm going to be like, oh, I really need this guy to win a Stanley Cup. So I can just say, Dallas, I do not need you to win a cup. You're my team. You're out of the Survivor.
All right.
Do we still have the Washington Capitals available?
I think we do, yeah.
I'm going to knock them out.
All right.
For the same kind of reason as Tampa Bay, where it's like it's another old team. You kind of expected them to fall off. I was kind of hoping that the Sabres would surpass them this year. Also, they had a negative 34 goal differential, and they're in the playoffs. They have less wins than the Sabres, and they're in the playoffs.
I think it was the worst goal differential in 30 years.
Yeah,
the playoffs.
So like, what is that? Also, their leading scorer, Dylan Strome, with 67 points.
It's not much better.
Like, that's not great at all.
To show you how unlikely the Capitals going on a run is, so the second... I got Stanley Cup odds in front of me right now.
Yep.
The favorite's Carolina. We mentioned that yesterday. The second worst odds in the Stanley Cup playoffs this run are the Islanders at +5,500. +5,500 is second worst. The Capitals are the worst at +18,000. The betting odds say they are 3 times less likely to win the Cup than any of the other 15 teams, which is pretty wild. That being said... Is Vegas still on the board?
No, I took them.
You took them, okay.
We have, by the way, here's who's left.
Go ahead.
In the East, you have the Florida Panthers and New York Rangers. And out West, you have the Winnipeg Jets, Colorado Avalanche, Vancouver Canucks, Nashville Predators, Edmonton Oilers.
Okay. I am going to knock out the Rangers here for the simple point of the big market. They always steal other teams' good players. It's always their blueprint. James Dolan is the owner. It's very unlikable, in my opinion. So I'll knock the Rangers out here. I don't really have a problem with any of their roster like players or anything, but it's the big market part of it. The Knicks are good, too, so you've already got another team that's good anyway, and it's a lot about the owner.
So the Drury thing, like, it doesn't – Drury and Pekka, does that not get you a little further to maybe I don't want to do that?
You mean like in a negative sense?
No, in a positive sense. Were you apprehensive about picking them because of those guys?
Not really. I mean, Pekka is an assistant coach. I don't have any ill will towards him. Drury, it's just always weird to me that he's a ghost. You know? I don't know that he's acknowledged the Sabres' existence since he left. So, I'm not saying I hate him still because he left, but just, you've seen Danny Briere dozens of times in the last 10 years talk about how much he's... All those guys. Dumont has done this, and Miller, and Campbell. Everyone, even the guys that left, have talked about how much they loved those 2 years in 05-06 and 06-07. Go search for Chris Drury ever talking about in his life. You will not find it.
Okay. I am going to choose. I'm going to go out west here. I'm going to choose the Nashville Predators. I mean, Nashville's got, it's just like up-and-coming city. Everybody goes there. It's like the bachelorette capital of the world. We love it, right? It's music, music city. No doubt about it. It literally is music city. Why do I need them to win something here? I mean, I don't have any interest in the Titans winning anything. I don't want to see them holding a cup over their head. And before Buffalo, there's nobody, Ryan O'Reilly's on there. That's more of a reason for me to eliminate them than to actually want them to win. I don't really care either way, to be quite honest with you. But Nashville does kind of nothing for me, and it would be very blasé, except for, okay, there's another city that's celebrating a Stanley Cup, and I'm sitting here with no playoffs 13 straight years. I'm eliminating the Nashville Predators.
I think I'm going to go with the Colorado Avalanche. Even though Casey Mittelstadt's there now, and we like Casey Mittelstadt and everything.
Yeah.
But the Avalanche have had too much success recently. Like, they got to get knocked down a little bit here, and I'm going to take them off.
Man, I love Nathan MacKinnon. Might be my favorite player in the league. Him and Makar. I understand that though. They also just won, right? So, you know, recency bias, or not recency bias. Just the fan base that already has one. All right. Let's see here. I'm going to knock out. Capitals,
you
Islanders, Predators, Kings are all gone.
Florida Panthers are the only ones in the East left. Then you have the Jets, Canucks, and Oilers in the West.
I don't know what to do with Winnipeg on this front. Winnipeg's had a weird season where they've been great. Like, what'd they finish? Second in their division? Yeah, 110 points. 52, 24, and 6. And they were second worst in the league in attendance by percentage. Like, it was a bad enough point to which Bettman had to fly to Winnipeg to figure out what's happening. And the owner warned them. Like, it's just weird stuff. I don't know, though. Like, what do I want to do with that, Sal? Do I want to blame the fans, or do I want to assume that it's Winnipeg? They must be going through a tough financial time as a city if they're not supporting the Jets. I think maybe I want to lay off them for that and not pick them. Okay, I'll go Vancouver. Vancouver because of style of play. I think they're a little fake. Thatcher Demko, who was an idea I really liked for the Sabres, doesn't matter because Lukanen played great, has kind of backstopped that thing. I think they play a more defensive style. They've got some fun, exciting players like Hughes and Pettersson, but among teams I would be most interested to watch go on a deep playoff run, I think Vancouver's near the bottom of my list.
Okay. This is tough for me. So here's how it's going to work. I have three left to choose from. I'll eliminate one. And then, Josh, you're the guy that's got to choose which team for us. Like, all the pressure's on you after I get rid of one of these teams, all right? So Panthers, Jets, Oilers. Let me first say, I'd be okay with any of these teams winning the Stanley Cup for all different reasons. And we can explain those as we go through them. But I kind of want to keep the Cup as far away from Buffalo as possible right now and not have to deal with it close to home in any capacity, which has happened here throughout this exercise because all of these teams are pretty far away. But you know, really far away is basically Western Canada. So the Jets and the Oilers, I'll keep it out there. I'm going to eliminate the Florida Panthers, and it's not because I hate the Florida Panthers. I'd love to see Kyle Okposo hoist the Stanley Cup. That would be great for him and his career. Sam Reinhart, I'd have no issue with Sam Reinhart hoisting a Stanley Cup. But they're in the East. It's a team that the Sabres compete with. And more so than anything, this is not about the Panthers. I think they're the team that I would like to see in the East more than anyone, so that's fine. This is more about the Jets and the Oilers. Because of all of these teams, there's 16, they're in the playoffs. I'm actually hoping that one of those teams, it would be great if one of those teams could win it. So I'll leave it to Josh to eliminate one of them, but I'll say I'll keep Jets and Oilers on the board. I'll eliminate the Florida Panthers.
See, this is a tough spot because I don't want to go with the, you know, normalcy pick of, oh, Edmonton, because they're Edmonton. But like,
why?
I know, but the Jets, they're fun because they have a good goalie. I'm a big goalie guy. Like, Connor Hellebuyck is just an incredible goaltender. And it'd be awesome to see him get something because he's carried that team for I don't know how many years now. And, you know, they do have their moments where they're like a flashy, fun team. And like Joe said, there's a lot going on right now with that city and with the fan base and everything. And, you know, you wonder what's going on there. So maybe a cup would help keep the Jets in Winnipeg because we've seen them leave before. But, I mean, you cannot deny Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl. Like, I got to go with the Oilers here. There's no other choice besides them. And
Them number one, so you're eliminating the Jets.
Yes, I'm eliminating the Jets. I'm picking the Oilers for us to root for because, I mean, come on, it's Connor McDavid. Guy scored 132 points this year.
I would have made the same decision. Yep, I want to see.
Me too.
I want to see McDavid win.
No ill will towards the Jets, though. The Jets are great.
Did we all go into this? Let me ask you honestly. If I went into this and just said, "Hey guys, take the 16 teams. Who would you like the most to see the Stanley Cup? Are we all taking the Oilers anyway before Survivor and eliminating teams?"
It would be between two. And am I just someone that? I think the more I watch sports, the more respect I have for the guys that just do it at the top all the time and how good they are, because it would be between Edmonton and Colorado for me. Like, I think Nathan MacKinnon is my favorite hockey player, and Makar is maybe second. Like, those two, watching them play together, it is, I think, the best watch in, I think, the sport in my life. I don't know if I've ever seen it at a higher level, defenseman to center, like those two do. But the fact that they've already won, yeah, it'd be close. I might end up going Edmonton too. You don't. Jeremy made this point, say, last hour, that like McDavid winning, let's just make sure we never have some dumb conversation in the future about how McDavid's not actually great because he never won anything.
Oh, right. I mean, come on. What are we doing?
Right,
let's just
eliminate that potential.
He's obviously great. He's one of the greatest already that's ever played. I mean, Austin Matthews is great. I don't care if he ever never wins a cup. He's great, right? I mean, there's no doubt about that. It sounds like to me, Joe, you, and I totally get this, I'm the same way in a lot of ways, you're rooting more for players than teams here.
I think so. That maybe that's me becoming an NBA fan more over time, because that's the NBA. NBA, it is more than ever. You have a favorite you have your favorite players and those individuals who you follow and root for. Hockey's not to the same extent, but yeah, I think I'm more geared that way than I probably ever have been. And I think McDavid and MacKinnon just, like, strictly put, I know Colorado's already won. I know Edmonton, even though it's 30 years ago, 40 years ago now even, has a billion Stanley Cups. But for the next month and a half, who do I want to watch play hockey? Anders Lee, or do I want to watch McDavid and MacKinnon? Like, I want to watch the greats play. I want to watch the most exciting players in the sport.
Well, listen, it's the same thing for me. Here, I root for players a lot of times in these situations, obviously, because it's just, hey, if the Buffalo team isn't in it, like, who can I get behind that I'd like to see? And we talked about former Sabres like Kyle Okposo or Sam Reinhart. You know, we've seen guys go elsewhere and win cups. But, Joe, as you know, and I'll bring it up, I think a lot of Buffalo should want Edmonton to win as well, because Zach Hyman is a very big Bills fan. He's Bills Mafia all the way. And I'd love to see Zach. And truth be told, I've gotten to know Zach and his family, actually, over the last year or so, because he's a Bills fan, and just some interactions we've had. So I followed his season very closely. Holy cow. 54 goals for Zach Hyman. Now, I get it. That's what happens when you play with McDavid and Draisaitl, and you're on the top line, and you're on the power play with the Edmonton Oilers. But I think that would be very cool. A guy like Zach Hyman, who grew up a Bills fan, he's very dialed into the Bills, you know, draft and everything. We've communicated on that. He told me he wants the Bills to draft a wide receiver. So, you know what, Zach? I want you to win a Stanley Cup. How about that?
Yeah.
I'd love to see that.
Former Sabres to win it. Like, I don't have any, you know, like, special feeling about wanting to see Okposo win it. Reinhart. Maybe more Reinhart, honestly, for me than Okposo. Eichel already has one, and that wouldn't be the answer, obviously, anyway. I don't know. Who's the former Sabre I'd want to see win it the most? O'Reilly already has one.
Linus Ullmark?
Yeah, I mean, the problem there is Boston has to win it. But, right, for the individual, right. Ullmark, among drought-era Sabres, Ullmark's one of the most well-liked. So that would be a good one. That might be it. There's not going to be many. Middlestat would be cool.
Yeah.
Not like that's the reason I'd be rooting for Colorado. But yeah, that would be cool to see Middlestat win it.
You know, this gets back to the whole Drury Pekka thing too, like former Sabres, right? And like, if you want to see them, they're not in there. They're not playing now.
Yeah.
But would you like to see something like that? So, you know, there are a lot of former Sabres that are also in those positions, right? Somewhere around the league, coaching, GM. We've seen that as well. So the NHL playoffs do get started tomorrow, 5 p.m., and then a game following at 8 p.m. Paul Hamilton's going to join us at the bottom of the hour. Joe, do you find it curious at all that we have not heard one thing from an NHL insider reporter, Elliot Friedman. Not that I've seen. I have not seen anything. Maybe you could tell me something different. I mean, Kevin Adams said he had a bunch of text messages on his phone, right? He said, hey, when I leave this press conference, I already noticed I got a bunch of texts on my phone. It was on silent, basically, so I haven't looked. There's a lot of interest in the job. Well, he's obviously talking to people already. Now, he can't talk to anybody currently employed. We get that. But certainly people who are unemployed he could talk to. Do you find it interesting? We have not heard one name floated out that anybody, the Sabres have made contact with?
A little bit. I think if it went a little bit longer, then I would be more surprised. Like, if we got through a couple of weeks and there's nothing. But otherwise, I would tend to think if there's only one candidate, in which I thought that was the case after hearing Adams talk on Tuesday, that, you know, might just be harder to report because there's going to be, you know, fewer sources around the league that are talking. If there's fewer agents that are connected to the search, there's fewer people in general that are involved. So maybe that explains it. But yeah, it would be, if you asked me that same question in a week and we still haven't heard anything, then I would definitely agree.
I mean, we would expect in the next few days, like you said, next week or so, we're going to start filtering names. Are we expecting, like, surprise names on this list? I think we're all kind of in the same boat. We're going to hear about Lindy Ruff. We're going to hear about Gerard Gallant. We're going to hear about Craig Berube. And these are guys who obviously don't have a job right now. Then you have to wait on, I don't know, did you guys talk about it in here this morning? Is there a thought that Mike Sullivan could be available, and what happens if he is?
I think there's definitely a thought to that. I think if you're the Penguins, you've already made your moves roster-wise. Crosby's not going anywhere, and Malkin and Letang are under contract. So unless you're doing something dramatic there, you just traded for Erik Karlsson. You don't have prospects. You don't have picks. So your flexibility with the roster is non-existent. So what's your move? You got to have something, right? Like, you're trying to go one last gasp. Let's win the cup with Crosby. What do? Roster, there's nothing you can do. You don't have your first-round pick. You don't have prospects, and all your guys are locked up. The only move I feel like there really is to make if you're the Penguins is to fire the coach. And, hey, Kyle Dubas is going into year two as the GM or the president of hockey ops. Right. I think he might have both titles. So does he want his own guy? I mean, I think it's definitely realistic that they fire Mike Sullivan. And Chad DeDominicis pointed this out from Expected Buffalo. Look at all the connections. Jason Carmanos, the Sabres associate GM. From the Pittsburgh background. All the analytics guys they brought in. Ventura, who's leading that campaign in the Sabres organization, comes from Pittsburgh. Like, of course, the Pagulas have their Pittsburgh connection. So going back to the Penguins, well, I think makes a lot of sense. Especially for that guy, because he fits the profile of everything Kevin Adams talked about.
Would you like it?
It'd be hard not to. It'd be hard not. It's credibility, right? I think. I don't even know. I would want to dive more into, like, exactly how he is as a coach, what type of systems he plays. But on the surface, yeah, it sounds like an awesome idea, I think.
2 years in a row, they missed the playoffs. I mean, is that because they're just aging out? I mean, they were right there both years.
Yeah, they're old and they're thin now, right? Like,
yeah.
Jeff Carter at 40 years old is, like, playing a meaningful secondary role on that team.
Did you see,
like,
the video of him the other night after the game?
Did he do the thing where he was, like, shaking hands with players on the other team after? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
I think he was one of, I'll have to update this, he was one of only a select few players left in the league that had played the Sabres in the playoffs.
There's always that stat.
Yeah.
He blows my mind when you bring it up.
He did it twice. He was on the Flyers team in 11 that the Sabres last had make the playoffs. He was also on the 06 team as a rookie. Like, go back and watch the Campbell hit, which I think we're coming up in the anniversary of. Go back and watch the Campbell hit on Umberger. The guy.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
That is like that is trying to go after Campbell is Jeff Carter.
Wow. Yeah. Jeff Carter. You know what? Hold on. Let me look at because Jeff Carter, he had a cup of coffee here, right?
Like No.
Oh, no. Who am I thinking of? No. It wasn't him. Somebody else I was thinking of a few years ago. Oh, I mean, Stahl was here.
Stahl?
Wayne Eric Simmons. Stahl maybe could have
Wayne
been
Simmons.
Him. Wayne Simmons was here. Yes, that's right. Wayne Simmons, because he was he had a Philadelphia connection as well. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. But the Sabres have had a few of those guys in and out. We have our Paul Hamilton coming in. He's going to be joining us here on the Wester Hotline. After this timeout, we will take a break. We'll get with Paul. We'll ask him about the Sabres head coaching search, where it stands, and what lies ahead. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio, Sneaky Joe DiBiase. It's brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Also today, stay tuned with us. In about a half hour from now, we are going to have safety Micah Hyde join the Extra Point Show. He has his charitable softball game coming up on May 19th. I'm fortunate enough to be the MC for that again, but also we'll ask him where everything stands as far as him and his playing career and his future. That's Micah Hyde at 11:05. Up next, Paul Hamilton on WGR.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, Mr. Bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to, are they going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Before we bring Paul on, I want to apologize. I mixed up the time. I said 11:05 for Micah Hyde. Of course, we want you all here at 11:05. We're going to be talking football. We're going to be talking the draft. We'll kind of go through what said yesterday down at One Bills Drive. But Micah's going to join us an hour from now at 11:30. Micah Hyde at 11:30 a.m. here on the Extra Point Show. Joe, we were just talking about Mike Sullivan. Kyle Dubas is actually doing his presser right now. His end-of-season presser is going on as we speak right now, and there's some quotes coming out from Kyle Dubas about the team, and he said he takes responsibility, but it is his job to evaluate. This was a direct question about Mike Sullivan's job status, and then he said that Mike Sullivan will be meeting, and they're going to have evaluations. All right, so here we go. Could be another cup-winning coach on the market. We'll get Paul's thoughts on that as he joins us on the Wester Hotline, brought to you by Equitable Advisors, thinking about today and planning for tomorrow, and by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. All right, Paul, well, maybe another cup-winning coach on the market. That would seem to fit the profile. I'm not saying it has to be Mike Sullivan, but it would be a guy who does check those boxes that Kevin Adams talked about last week.
He certainly would check those boxes. And I look at Pittsburgh, too, and I say to myself, you know, like, you went out and got Carlson. Really? I mean, you've got Letang already. Carlson is a one-trick pony. I mean, I thought it was a huge joke that he won the Norris Trophy, because I think the Norris Trophy should be for a actual defenseman who actually plays defense and maybe plays offense too, but it seems like whoever gets the most points is the Norris Trophy winner. And I mean, Carlson's one of the worst defensive defensemen in the National Hockey League, and then Pittsburgh decides to go out and get it. Dubas should be blaming himself. I mean, he didn't help that team at all this year, and you know, I just look at it, and I'm not sure I'd be blaming Mike Sullivan for the problems of the Pittsburgh Penguins.
That being said, if he does get blamed, Paul, am I right in assuming, who am I thinking of, Karmanos here, that there are at least a couple guys in the Sabres front office that would have a Pittsburgh connection?
Yes, Karmanos would, definitely.
And Sam Ventura, I know he's one of the numbers guys,
yeah,
but he's from there, too.
Yeah, he's not.
Yeah,
he's
but Karmanos is the one.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
But, well,
you know,
he did
you remember
say
when...
Kyle...
When Terry Pegula took over, he like raided the Penguins.
Right.
I mean, he
right,
that's right,
and really took a lot of people that weren't good people. I was told that Mario Lemieux was like laughing at the people he was taking. It's like, oh yeah, okay, go ahead, we're fine, type of a thing. So, but he does like to take Penguin people.
All right, Paul. So let's talk about where it does stand then. You know, even independent of anybody who's not particularly on the market right now. When are we going to start hearing things? I just asked Joe a little while ago, is he surprised that we have not heard anyone mention a name of who the Sabres have contacted? Kevin Adams said at the press conference, that he had his phone on silent, but he knew he had a whole bunch of text messages. People are interested in the job. Said when he left there, he was going to start, you know, making phone calls, talking to people. Obviously, those things are happening right now. What do you think the timeline is here from when we're going to start hearing about them actually contacting people, doing interviews, and maybe even getting to the finish line?
He sounded like he pretty much knew who he wanted. I don't know if he did, but he sounded like it at least. So let's say he wanted to make sure that Rod Brind'Amour is actually going to re-sign with the Carolina Hurricanes. Well, if that's the case, he's got to wait till the Hurricanes are done. You know, so that would be... And, of course, I mean, if Rod Brind'Amour is willing, he'd be the number one candidate. And you're going to have to open your wallet to get him here, too, which is he claims that all the resources he needs are given to him. So if that's the case, then money wouldn't matter as far as trying to get him here as the coach. So he would be the number one candidate if he were to become available. And I think Kevin Adams would keep it open until he knows for sure he's not available. So that would be the number one guy. If he knows for sure he can't get him, you know, it might happen pretty quick. Because he made it sound like he pretty much knew where he wanted to go with this. So, you know, I think the names that have been out there are pretty much the ones that, you know, he'd be talking to.
Yeah. So if it starts to become clear, and this would happen game by game, round by round, that Carolina goes on a deep run. They are, by the betting odds, they are the Stanley Cup favorite right now. I think a lot of that has to do with their path. But if they go on a deep run, Paul, like, I don't know, do you think there's a point where Adam says, okay, now it's been a month, now it's been almost 2 months, or do you think if it's still in the unknown, he would take it all the way to the end?
Problem with taking it all the way to the end is people might start getting taken. That you want, like your second choice might wind up in Ottawa. Or something like that. So that's the only problem with waiting. That's why you've got to try to somehow get a gauge. I mean, they're very good friends. Mm-hmm. I mean, Adams isn't going to tamper or anything, but, you know, they're very good friends. So Adams might have an idea whether Brind'Amour is going to re-sign with Carolina or not. But if you let it go too long, all of a sudden your number two, three, and four candidates could be elsewhere.
All right, so he might be rooting for the Islanders then in the first round.
Definitely.
Paul Hamilton joining us here on the West Herr Hotline. All right, the initial buzz was Lindy Ruff, Gerard Gallant, Bruce Boudreau, Craig Berube. Has there been anybody else that's kind of coming? Obviously, Brind'Amour, guys who have jobs right now. I mean, are we limiting ourselves when we talk, Paul? I mean, you know, could there be other people out there, given the set of parameters that you heard Kevin Adams talk about? I don't know how far out of that web we can really go. You know what I mean?
Exactly. I mean, I think that the names have been put out there that fit the parameters of what Kevin Adams was talking about. So, though, you know, there's not too many others. I mean, you could go with the guy Edmonton fired, Jay
Woodcroft.
Yeah. Thank you. I mean, he hasn't been named. I mean, he is a guy who's coached in the NHL. That's not somebody I would want to go with, but that's probably why he hasn't been named. But, you know, you could maybe find some guys like that. But for the parameters that they're talking about, I think the names that are out there are the basic guys.
Well, and they talked about pedigree too, right, Paul, or Adams did. So, you know, like if I don't know, if the list starts getting whittled down, like I don't think they'd ever circle back around to a first-time coach, because then they would kind of make it known to everyone that they failed in their search. I think there should be enough people out there that they could get that what they want, but like, what's the worst-case scenario for them in terms of the pedigree? Like, Todd McClellan? Like, do they go much lower? Boudreau? I know Boudreau's older. Like, it does feel like they did... He talked about pedigree. Like, I don't think he'll just hire a coach that's coached before. You mentioned Woodcroft, but hasn't really achieved anything.
Well, remember Todd McClellan, they wanted him, and he went to Los Angeles in the coaching search. So that is somebody the Sabres, not Kevin Adams, but that is somebody the Sabres wanted, couldn't get. So, you know, he's at least been connected to the Sabres before under different management. So I don't know if Terry Pegula liked him. I don't know if Terry Pegula was even in on an interview with him. He was interviewed. I'm not there. I don't know if Terry Pegula was or wasn't. So, that is a guy that the Sabres have been connected to in the past under other management.
Paul, I said to Joe yesterday, we haven't talked to you in a couple of days. So we got your sound from yesterday in the locker room and the day before, and you were down there. You're talking to players. You write articles. I'm reading quotes. I'm listening to things. I was kind of stunned at, I'm not going to say throwing him under the bus. I don't think it went that far. Because they had a lot of really nice things to say about Don Granato, the players. But man, there was a lot of, we need a coach who's going to hold us more accountable. We need a coach who's going to push us harder. However you want to phrase it, it was Tuck, it was Dahlin, it was Tage Thompson. These are your best players, your leaders, who said, oh yeah, Don Granato, great guy, we love him. But we need a coach who's going to be harder on us, push, hold us accountable, have to have repercussions. I was a little surprised by that, to be quite honest with you. How about you?
Yeah, and where are the leaders in the locker room? Why does it have to be the coach? I mean, why aren't they holding each other accountable? And that's something that Tage Thompson addressed and said, we have to stop worrying about hurting each other's feelings because we're such good friends. He goes, we can still call each other out when people aren't playing well and be friends at the end of the day. Because, as he said, and I'll, you know, it's coming from a place of love, as he said, and we're just trying to make each other better. Okay, I guess that wasn't happening. I don't know why. I mean, where are the leaders in this room that that kind of stuff wasn't happening? Or they're all worried about hurting each other's feelings and that type of thing. Listening to Tage Thompson, you know I've been talking about. At first, I kind of thought Dylan Cousins would be a great captain for this team. And then Dahlin kind of won me over the last couple of years. I thought he became a better leader, much better leader, and more comfortable to become a much better leader. And I thought Don Granato definitely would want Rasmus Dahlin as their captain. I think Kevin Adams would too. And then I've listened to a lot of Tage Thompson in the last, I don't know how many weeks, and then locker cleanout, and especially locker cleanout, as he was talking, I thought to myself, this probably should be your next captain right here. This guy gets it. This guy seems to be willing, hey, you know, even if it's me, if I'm not playing well, I deserve to be benched. Now, when it actually happens, we'll see. if it actually happens, we'll see. But I don't think Tage Thompson was spouting out the company line or anything. I think he was very, very honest with his feelings. And he sounded like a leader to me. And he sounded like a guy that will, all right, we're going to start holding each other accountable in here. And if you don't like it, that's too bad, type of an attitude. So
can I just go back to my original point and question, though, about this, about the coach? Then it sounds to me then that even though he's saying that, well, then why are you blaming the coach for not doing that? Right? That's what was surprising to me. Well, like, we're blaming the coach for not holding us accountable.
That's like how I've had this wonder, Paul. I'm not even saying that they both need to be blamed, but aren't they saying the same thing about the player accountability there, about the coach accountability? But Granato is kind of becoming the target, and why isn't Kyle Okposo? Like, how is it different, I guess? Like, the way they're talking about both the coach level and the player level. If the player level is as bad as the coach level, well, then you've got to get better on the coach front, and you need to get better at the captain front.
Nobody's going to stand there and say names.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, if you were expecting to hear Kyle Poso's name...
No, I wasn't. And then they didn't say Granato's name either, though, right?
No, they didn't. So,
but they said they needed a coach who's going to do that.
That's what I'm just talking about.
Yeah, okay, right.
That where was the leadership in this room?
Yep.
You know, and from captains to everybody else, there are veterans in there. Where were they? I mean, why did this thing with the fans become a thing? Never should have become a thing. You can't win a battle with your fans. You just can't. So yep. Stop. And why did veteran players in that locker room sign off on this? I don't get it. I didn't get it then, and I don't get it now. And I even if you're right, I'm not saying if you're right or wrong, whatever, but even if you're right, you can't win that battle, so just stop. And it was finally somebody put a stop to it, and you know, you move on. So when Tage Thompson was talking about it, he kept saying everybody. He's saying from the top to the coaches to us, everybody needs to be more accountability in this room. And he was talking a lot about consequences. Well, the players can't bench people. Sure. When you're talking about consequences, that has to go to the coach.
All right, so that is one of the tasks then of Kevin Adams. Obviously, the coach comes first, and then they're going to have, you know, draft and free agency and all those kinds of things. The coach is going to have a say on that. Whoever they bring in, they're going to go through the roster. We all know that. But does that have to be, is it, if it's priority A is get the coach, the right coach in here, the guy who's going to push these buttons and know how to handle this tactfully and get in your face and be a leader, but also do it the right way these days, is task number two to find the best person in the locker room who plays on the ice to also do the, kind of the same thing?
They need to get some veteran people in there, but they also, I think the number one priority is get some players in there that are hard to play against. I think that, and a lot of those guys will wind up being veteran leaders if you get them here or can talk them into coming here. And so I think it would come hand in hand in some of those, but oh, absolutely. I think they need to go outside the organization, you know, find a 27-year-old centerman who's a really good hockey player, and maybe you got to give up one of your gems to do it.
Yeah.
All right, so be it. You got a bunch of them. So it's not like you only got one, and you got a bunch of them. So if you got to trade one or two of them to make this team better right now, you still got other ones that can also step in for you because they're all not going to be able to play.
Yeah. Do you think, well, I guess you just kind of said it, right? They have so many prospects, and I think for at least three of them, like, it's conceivable, like, hey, they're ready for the NHL now, but you don't have spots for them. So I guess maybe trade's more likely. I wonder, Paul, if we'll be talking free agency more than we ever have been. I don't know if they'll do it, but, like, will we be looking at, even if it's tough, right? Because the guy we're talking about, hard to play against, veteran leader.
He's a day two guy.
Yeah.
Probably.
Like, those guys usually are the guys you overpay, right?
Yeah, I'm more interested in trade.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got the assets to trade. I'm not real interested in getting caught up into a Jeff Skinner contract with somebody. You know, Kadri was somebody we talked about. But his contract is $7 million a year.
Yeah, that's
goes till he's 39 years old. Well, no, I'm not going to do that. I'd love to have the player. Absolutely would love to have the player. But in 1, 2, or 3 years, all of a sudden you're hung again.
Yeah. Can I? Do you think they'll revisit Kane for this?
If he's available, yeah. But is he going to, like, he was willing to sign a 1-year deal now. Is he willing to sign a 1-year deal?
He was a point-per-game player. You might think he might want, what, a 2-3-year deal at least now?
I would still do that, but I'm not going to give him 6 or 7 or something like that, but I would still give him 2 or 3. And Kevin Adams was very interested in him, and he was not interested in coming to Buffalo. He was interested in going to the Detroit Red Wings for several reasons, and now we'll see where his interests lie there, but I think absolutely Kevin Adams would be interested in him. And he would fit the bill of being able to play and produce in your top six. Now, he's hard to play against from the fact that you're going to back off the defense and that type of thing. But, you know, nobody's going to be scared of him that he's going to go into the corner and make it difficult for you and that type of a thing. But, you know, he's hard to play against in a different manner than what we're talking about, which would be just fine. That would fit just fine for this team. They need that too.
Paul Hamilton doesn't make predictions. Too bad. Paul, I'm giving you fake $1,000. Who are you putting on to come out of the East?
Who is going to come out of the East? Well, the Rangers are going to be a tough out. They really are. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they get Washington. I would imagine that would be close to a sweep, I would think. Mm-hmm. You know, Florida, you never know what can happen. I mean, Bobrovsky, for the first time in his career, produced in the playoffs last year. And he wasn't even the starter. He came on in the middle of a series, and he couldn't get him out of the net. He was great. So if they get that kind of goaltending from Bobrovsky, they will be tough. I don't know. The Rangers still stick out in my mind, though.
Who's going to come out of the West, you think? Is this Edmonton's or bust?
Dallas.
Yeah, they had a great season.
They got screwed maybe by the matchups because I think they finished with the most points in the West. They've got to go Vegas, and then they might have to go Colorado in the first two rounds. But I think they might be the best team. Also,
they're number two in the league. I mean,
right,
Rangers number one, Dallas number two, Carolina three, and then Winnipeg number four. As you said, they could wind up after getting Vegas. Vegas is 14th, but they're still Vegas.
Right.
You know, it's not like they're not any good. They just had some problems in the regular season, especially with injuries. And then you could wind up playing, two could play four, if you wind up with the Winnipeg Jets next. So that's, as I said, they don't have a good path. But, Ottinger, I've seen him in the playoffs, and he's got to be a little better than he was in the regular season. But if he turns into the Ottinger I saw in the playoffs, he definitely could help carry that team.
I have no interest in watching a Rangers Stars Stanley Cup. Might be two good teams, the best teams, and it's not on Sal Capaccio's list of
but
entertaining
think of the jerseys.
Hockey for me.
I mean,
it would be a good jersey match.
I mean, it would be a good jersey series. That's all we want. We want
that's
a good
true.
Series where
yeah,
it has good
like
jerseys,
that.
Right?
Oh, and Bettman will love his ratings, too, with the big markets.
Yeah, for sure. Paul, good stuff today, and we're going to be on top of you all weekend and throughout next week, of course, for the Sabres head coach search. Thanks a lot. Yep. Have a great weekend.
Looking forward to listening to Micah High, too.
All right, thank you very much. Thanks. Micah at 11:30 today, and we will have more after this timeout. Then we're going to get to a timeout. Micah at 11:30 today. I said 11:05 earlier. It's 11:30. Micah Hyde comes on WGR right here.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Here on the Extra Point Show. All right, we have Micah Hyde coming up at 11:30 today. We'll talk about his charitable softball game, which is back in town at Salem Field on May 19th. Asked Josh Allen about that yesterday, Joe. He said his intention is to play again. It's always a cool event, and we'll get with Micah on that. We also don't know about Micah's status, you know, going forward. And I thought it was interesting yesterday, Brandon Bean did say that he has spoken with Micah recently, and he mentioned the softball game and coming back, and same thing with Sean McDermott. I still don't think it's going to happen. However, I'm more open to it now after listening to them and knowing that he's still out there as a free agent.
Yep, me too. And there's room to win a spot or a role, right? Like it's, I think they're fine. Mike Edwards, Taylor Rapp, but are they so entrenched that if Hyde looked healthy and came back mm-hmm. on a small deal that he couldn't still be out on the field? Like I think that is still doable for him if he came in.
I think the second part of that is more important even. I think it would have to be financially feasible for both sides. Mm-hmm. The Bills certainly aren't going to pay a lot for Micah Hyde, and I don't know if Micah would think it's worth it for him, and understandably, at this point of his career and the injury and you know what he's meant to the Buffalo Bills. So we'll ask Micah Hyde about that. That's at 11:30. That's Eastern. And Mingo Mean Time. Joe, you know what Mingo Mean Time is?
No.
You ever hear
that? Mingo Mean Time?
Mingo Mean Time. 11:30 a.m. Mingo Mean Time. You've never heard of that?
No, never.
Have you ever watched... You will if you watch Flash Gordon, the movie.
I've never seen Flash Gordon, the movie.
No. You've never seen Flash Gordon, the movie?
No, I know. I think I know Flash Gordon from the movie Ted. Josh is
okay.
Nodding. This is a millennial / Gen Z thing. We know Flash Gordon from the movie Ted, not from Flash Gordon.
Okay.
Yep.
Flash Gordon, the movie. Yes. Mingo Mean Time. Ming the Merciless. I was going to go for Halloween one year as Ming the Merciless. If in the break, I want you to look up Ming the Merciless, and you'll see exactly why I would go as Ming the Merciless for okay. Halloween. All right. But Mingo Mean Time, 11:30, also known as Eastern Time. That's what we'll have Micah Hyde. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back here on the Extra Point Show on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
For a
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.